coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show with me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. The U.S. military fails to hold its soldiers accountable for unlawful killings and other abuses in Afghanistan. This is the conclusion of the recent Amnesty International report released on the 11th of August. The authors of the 84-page document titled Left in the Dark say that apparent war crimes have gone uninvestigated and unpunished. Coming to us now with more details on the study is Olof Blomqvist, spokesperson for Amnesty International, just back from Kabul, where he traveled to launch the report. So the first question to him is there any reason why the Amnesty International has chosen this particular moment to publish the study?
As you probably see, the report is only focused on civilian casualties by international forces in Afghanistan. So we haven't covered Afghan national security forces or armed groups like the Taliban. The reason for this is because the security transition is in full swing. International troops are leaving Afghanistan, many have left already, and the Afghan national security forces are starting to take over. So we really thought it was important to highlight this issue of the lack of accountability and lack of justice for civilian killings at the hands of international forces before they leave the country. Otherwise, there was a real risk that the US and NATO countries would leave behind a legacy of impunity and resentment in Afghanistan.
Could you remind our listeners of the figures? I mean, do you happen to have the numbers? How many civilians have been killed throughout this anti-terrorist campaign in Afghanistan?
We haven't done our own quantitative research for this report in the sense that we've counted the exact number of civilians killed since 2001. There are other organizations who keep track of that. The UN is the most notable, who release a yearly review of civilian casualties in Afghanistan. But there's simply no precise estimate. The total estimate in 2001 is that thousands have been killed by international forces, so it's not very precise. What we have covered in the report is the past is a four-year period in Afghanistan, so from 2009 to 2013, and we estimate that about 1,800 civilians have been killed by international forces in that time.
1,800.
I should clarify here that under international law, not every killing of a civilian is unlawful. It's only when civilians are killed indiscriminately or when they're directly targeted that international law says that a killing of civilians is in fact illegal. But what we've done in the report is we focused on 10 emblematic cases that involved killing of civilians, mainly at the hands of U.S. troops. In these cases, we've counted 140 civilians who have been killed. This includes 50 children. I think it's important to note that actually over the past few years, the number of civilian deaths caused by international forces have dropped pretty substantially in Afghanistan. So there are essentially two reasons behind this. One is that, to their credit, NATO countries, including the US, have taken steps to protect civilians better. They've cut down on practices like airstrikes, for example, that caused a huge amount of civilian deaths when they were used at the most a couple of years ago. But another reason is also that international forces simply do less fighting because Afghan troops have taken over and are responsible for most of the security. But even if we've seen this drop in the actual number of civilians being killed, it hasn't been accompanied by accountability or justice for the victims. And that's really what our report focuses on. We've documented how thousands of Afghans have been left completely without justice, how the U.S. military have seemingly ignored very strong evidence of war crimes that we have documented and not even carried out proper investigations. In many of the cases we looked at, the U.S. or NATO would admit to having possibly killed civilians and announce that they were looking into it and they were carrying out their own investigations. But the problem is that they would often just go silent afterwards. There would be no more public communication on whether those investigations had taken place, what the conclusions were. So Afghan victims and Afghan civilians were left completely in the dark. So that's really what we're calling for in this report. We want to see these people get the justice they deserve, which are currently being denied. I think our conclusion in the report is that it's really down to a very sort of systemic and structural flaws in the U.S. military justice system that ensures that this kind of lack of accountability just goes on and is never addressed. view it, the U.S. military justice, I mean, it's essentially a form of self-policing. It relies on soldiers and commanders themselves to report human rights abuses. But there's an obvious conflict of interest there in that soldiers and commanders might end up being criminalizing themselves if they actually report abuses. So there's very little incentive for them to do so. And U.S. military personnel are also immune from prosecution in Afghanistan. So Afghan victims themselves, they actually have no legal recourse to even press for prosecution in these cases.
Mr. Blomqvist, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Olof Blomqvist, spokesperson for Amnesty International. This is Burning Point. We're looking at the recent Amnesty International report saying U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan have gone uninvestigated and unpunished. And now we are joined by our next guest speaker, Ahmed Qureshi, senior research fellow with Pakistan Federal Reorganization Program, Project for Pakistan in 21st Century.
I think the latest Amnesty International report is a historical document. It marks the epic fall of the entire American Freedom Project in Afghanistan, the entire Operation Enduring Freedom that began in 2001. I think we are seeing a damning indictment of what the United States tried to do in Afghanistan. And I think it's the details, if anyone were to read through the report, would be horrified by the kinds of crimes that have been documented. And I think the Amnesty International team has done a terrific job in detailing and in documenting those incidents. And I would just quickly refer to 10 incidents that I was going through that listed 140 civilians, not fighters, not Taliban, not terrorists, but 140 Afghan civilians that were killed, including 50 children out of those 140 killed in those 10 incidents. So I think the American Freedom Project, so to speak, in Afghanistan has been a huge failure. And I think there would be, besides this report, there would be no other bigger indictment of this whole project, the American project in Afghanistan, than the case of Army Sergeant Bergdahl, who in 2009 deserted his military unit because he disapproved of what the United States government and the United States military were doing in Afghanistan. Obviously, he was privy to a lot of details that never, unfortunately, came out, and we may probably, for the next few years, may not be able to know exactly what were the real reasons. What are those things that Army Sergeant Bergdahl saw that prompted him to desert his military unit and not wait for the end of his duty tenure in Afghanistan to return to the United States and maybe expose or reveal those things that he saw that he objected to in Afghanistan? So this report is a historical document indeed.
Mr. Qureshi, but if I get it right, the civilian casualties inflicted by this anti-terrorist campaign in Afghanistan are not only limited to Afghanistan. I mean, Pakistan seems to have suffered too.
I think the United States played the United States military and the intelligence units that were operating in Afghanistan played a key role in perpetuating the crisis in our region and in multiplying it through tactics that actually increased extremism in the region instead of reducing it. And of course, one of the key reasons was the civilian deaths. And we continue to see, unfortunately, although thanks to a large and wide international condemnation of the killing of civilians, we've seen a reduction in U.S. military operations that result in civilian deaths. But unfortunately, the pattern still continues, and we are not seeing an end to that. And I would just draw very quickly your attention to a reaction of that. We are seeing now a reaction. One sign of that reaction is what he called friendly deaths, where you're seeing more and more Afghan soldiers and Afghan policemen trained by the U.S. military turning their guns on their trainers, on U.S. officials, on U.S. And recently we have a U.S. general who was killed. So there's a reaction, and there's a reason for that. And I think the Amnesty International just revealed the tip of the iceberg. And I think the level of anger inside Afghanistan on these civilian deaths is tremendous and is one reason why the United States and the Afghan government continues to grapple with a growing insurgency. And one reason for the insurgency is that the insurgents do find support from segments of the Afghan population who are angry at these civilian deaths. So the United States basically was its own biggest enemy in Afghanistan. Through the civilian deaths, it undermined its own project there.
Our guest speaker is Ahmed Qureshi, senior research fellow with Pakistan Federal Reorganization Program, Project for Pakistan in 21st Century.
Burning Point.
Mr. Qureshi, but when we're talking about civilian deaths, and when we know that at the same time there are all kinds of high-precision weapons, and Americans and NATO forces are operating on the ground, which means that they can handle their operations way more accurately than they're doing. So how do we explain such a huge number of civilian casualties? Is it just a neglect, or is it some kind of tactics? Because this is something we're also witnessing in Gaza. This is something we're also witnessing in south of Ukraine. I mean, civilians are getting killed in contemporary warfare. What is that?
The international public opinion has given the United States military, I think, a lot of benefit of the doubt over the last decade in Afghanistan mainly. And we all, of course, try to find, I would say, pretexts or even excuses. Maybe the situation is very difficult, the terrain is very tough, they're dealing with a very tough and a ruthless enemy, and so forth. And in some way, partially, all of us in the international public opinion, we partially justified what happened. But I think the report that we're reading right now, the Amnesty International report, and other incidents that we have now concrete evidences on, I think reveals beyond doubt that this was the civilian deaths, the casualties, this was all very systematic, and it was planned. And the Amnesty International details systematic ways in which evidences were concealed, plans were put in place to punish the civilian population. It's quite clear that I think time has come for us to put an end to sort of this indirectly justifying civilian deaths because of the toughness of the enemy that the forces face or because of the difficulty of the terrain. I think it's quite clear now that this is quite systematic. In the case of Gaza also, we're reading now more and more reports are emerging in the Israeli media and the international media. People who are talking now openly about how targeting civilians is actually no longer a neglect or something that happens because of an oversight. But unfortunately, there are segments in the military that we've seen in the U.S. military, for example, in Afghanistan, that actually did incorporate punishing the civilian population as part of their wider military plans to defeat their enemies. So I think time has come for us to talk openly about how it is wrong to target civilians in any military operations. And I think it's quite clear from the Amnesty International report that the U.S. military, the Pentagon, has been clearly involved in targeting civilians in Afghanistan, for which the U.S. military is also getting a blowback now in the shape of the large and increasing number of Afghan soldiers, Afghan policemen who turn their guns on U.S. soldiers and U.S. generals whenever they get a chance.
And finally, Dr. Qureshi, what could be the outcome of this awakening of the international public opinion? Do you think that the Americans who are responsible for the killings of civilians, are they going to be held accountable?
In a small, I wouldn't say it's a very scientific research, but I was doing sort of a compilation or a comparison of the number of times in the American media, for example, that I have seen arguments that are usually used by the Pentagon to justify its own quote-unquote mistakes in war zones. The number of times that those arguments were made and were accepted in the American media. And of course, the level of acceptance was higher immediately after 9/11 and in the subsequent years, not far, very far away from 2001. But recently, I think I see those people, for example, in the American media who would justify news arguments that are normally floated by the Pentagon, those people find themselves to be besieged even within the American public opinion, let alone the international opinion. So the level of blowback, the level of anger is increasing, and I think it's a very positive development, although it comes quite late, almost 13 years after the war in Afghanistan and whatever we saw, the civilian deaths in Iraq. It's taken a long time, but I think the international public opinion is sort of gelling up, is getting stronger, is speaking up, and more importantly, we're seeing the apologists for U.S. military committing war crimes in war zones, specifically in Afghanistan and Iraq. The apologists for the U.S. military getting more and more, find themselves to be more and more besieged and isolated even within the American media. So I think we're seeing positive developments, and with the United Nations Human Rights Council earlier this year passing a resolution against the use of the wanton use of unmanned drones, I think the international community is moving very firmly in the direction of criminalizing the civilian deaths. And I think the Amnesty International report is going to play definitely a huge role in that. And I look forward next month at the 27th session of the United Nations Human Rights Council. I look forward to actually seeing a sort of a reaction to the Amnesty International report, and hope that the international community will be able to exert more pressure on the United States to hold accountable those elements within the U.S. military that have been found beyond doubt to have been involved in war crimes in Iraq and in Afghanistan.
Dr. Qureshi, thank you so much. And just to remind you, this time our guest speaker was Ahmed Qureshi, Senior Research Fellow with Pakistan Federal Reorganization Program, Project for Pakistan in 21st Century. Well, and now we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.